Welcome to the Our Two Cents podcast with your hosts, Rosh and Nan. Here we talk about all things pop culture and we have something for everyone. Listen in to our latest episode and we hope you enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to episode 83 of the Our Two Cents podcast with your host Nan
and Rosh.
And today we have a very special episode because we are celebrating the end of one of the best shows of all time. The show that has brought so much joy to so many people's lives in a time of... It's literally, I think, the definition of love in the time of COVID.
love in the time of Corona.
Called Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
So we are going to do an episode just dedicated to Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
We've done that with all of our other favorite shows that have ended. So yeah, it's only fair that we do that.
Ted Lasso. Mr. Lasso gets the same treatment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what are we actually going to be talking about today?
Well, we're talking about the finale, the season, well, the series or season. We will also discuss that point. I think that's something we need to talk about. So we don't know whether it's the series and or season finale.
Not sure
yet.
It's
episode 312.
Yes.
Basically. That we need to talk about. I don't know if we'll do a good, the bad, and the ugly, but just like points that we loved and points that we didn't quite love and didn't quite stick the landing.
Do we want to focus just on the finale episode?
I was coming through with an explanation.
I'm just asking. Just want to clarify.
So like the finale, and then we can talk about like season three as a whole and then talk about the show and what we love about it.
Sounds good.
Moments, and then we can
Sounds like a plan. All right. Do we want to start at the beginning of... I think what we should do is we should talk about season three. Talk as a whole. Talk about the finale episode. I think we should do a few highlights of the season.
Yeah.
And then we should do a bit of a retrospective of like what we thought of the first season and like what we thought going in.
Yeah.
What it's ended up being. Because I think that's a nice way of sort of looking at where the show started, our expectations of it, and where it's ended, essentially.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we don't know whether it's ended or not.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it has ended, the place that it's ended at.
Yeah. But then our positive note at the end is going to be, like, talking about favorite moments and stuff.
Yes, definitely.
And favorite one-liners and things like that, because everybody loves those.
That's up to you, because I do not remember that
stuff.
Oh,
come
on! I only laugh at that stuff. I do not remember.
You remember moments, though.
I remember certain moments. Oh, yeah, moments, yes.
Come on.
Not the one-liners, though. Anyway, okay, let's jump into this. So, before we jump into Ted Lasso, I do want to say that this episode is going to be our first episode on our YouTube channel. Yay! Applause! So for those of you who have never, ever heard us before...
That was hesitant clapping.
I have never heard us before. We have had this podcast since what year did we start? 2019. We started just before we got into the pandemic and then we kind of went through the pandemic. So this is actually our 83rd episode.
Yes.
And so we have a whole back catalog of episodes. So if you like us, if you think that you want to give us the time of your precious day and listen to us jabber on about some of the stuff that we love talking about, please go ahead and follow the links in the description box. Oh my gosh, I've always wanted to say that. and follow our podcast and listen to our old episodes. We'd love to, you know, this is a bit of a new adventure for us.
Yeah.
And so for those of you who've been listening on on your normal platforms apart from Apple Podcasts, because something's going on there still. We're not updating for some reason, but it's working on Spotify and everything else. For those of you who've been listening to us on that, nothing changes for you.
Yeah.
If you want to transition to YouTube, please by all means do that. But this is essentially just a new way to reach more people.
Yeah.
And so if this is by some weird algorithmic way you found us,
hello.
This is our first episode on YouTube, but we do have 82 other episodes on our Spotify podcast and some other platforms as well.
Yes.
And so please check us out on there.
Yeah.
Okay, should we jump into Ted Lasso now?
Yes, we should.
Alrighty. Yay! Then. Let's go, Ted Lasso.
I almost wanted to sing the song. I was like, Marcus Mumford might copyright me, so it might not be
true,
a good idea.
That's true. Oh, now that we're on YouTube, we need to be a little bit more careful.
Exactly.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, so Ted Lasso, this is season 3. We are not sure whether this is the series finale
or season finale, because as we know, I mean, anybody who watches Ted Lasso or follows it, you know, can probably, also remember that, you know, between Jason, Brendan, Joe and Bill, who are all the creators of the show, we can't really decipher what they're trying to be like, insinuating about, the ending. Basically, someone will say, oh, it was going to be the end. We've mapped it out for 3 seasons. This is the arc and this is the end of this story. And for a while, everybody was like, if it's the end of this story, then I guess then that's just it.
Yeah.
And then Brendan Hunt, who plays, Coach Beard as well in the show, has been saying, like, you know, it's the end of this story, but we've got, you know, we're not ruling anything out, but we need to sit with it for a little bit, decompress, all that jazz.
Yeah.
So, who knows if there's a spinoff coming, if there's a season 4 coming.
We need a women's team.
We need a, well, we're going to talk about that, I guess, when we get into the episode, but,
I think, personally, I feel like this is the end for Ted Lasso.
For Ted, yeah.
Because, honestly, if they didn't have the writer strike, I would have said no, it's not the end. But because the writer strike is happening, I feel like this is the end. Yeah. If they do come back, it will definitely be in some kind of a spin-off.
Yeah, in a spin-off format.
So anyway, let's start off with, you know, going back into the start of season 3. How does season 3 open up? It opens up with, how did season 2 end?
Well, season 2 ends with a falling out between Nate and Ted.
Yeah.
And Nate basically goes over to the rival team, West Ham, which is owned by Rebecca's ex, Rupert.
Yeah.
And he becomes the manager there.
Yeah.
That's, you know, how it ends.
And honestly, when that happened, I think a lot of people, like, you know, we watched a lot of videos and we listened to a lot of people talk about it. And I think, and us as well.
Yeah.
I think one of the things we talked about was the fact that how do we come back from this moment where Nate has made such a clean break in, like, such a disrespectful way? Like, what he does is awful.
Yeah, what he did was awful. And while season 3 does address some of that, I don't think it's still fully addressed everything properly.
Mm.
I'm so in neutral, like, in the middle of Nate's arc, because while I'm glad we eventually get him back into our team, we get him back to Richmond, all good in the hood, as they say, back in the day. I just feel, and I'll say this and then we'll backtrack and talk about what season 3 has been about.
Mm.
But basically, I feel like there were so many moments that got left off screen that we needed to see with Nate, and we needed to address, and not just with Nate, with a whole bunch of other characters as well. And I just feel like the redemption, quote unquote, was a bit too much of an easy road.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, in comparison to, let's say, in season 1, when Rebecca was about to confess to Ted what she had done, you know, why she brought him on, because she wanted to ruin the club and all that.
Yeah.
She genuinely feels so terrible because this man is so nice to her. And then when it's so surprising for her that he forgives her. And that's really the start of, like, their really great bond. And then even in season two, after Jamie has done all these horrible things to the team, he said such awful things, he's acted badly. And season two is all about his redemption and him getting back to the team and defending them and, you know, taking them, like, you know, like how he really initiates out of the rest of the team.
Yeah.
To do the, you know, blocking of the Dubai air on shirts.
He's
blah,
the one that sort of starts that.
He starts it for the rest of the team. So, like, I feel like there was nothing like that for Nate, you know?
I feel like there wasn't enough time for him to do that, because I feel like they started his sort of redemption arc very late, perhaps.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, when does it start? What episode does it start
in? I mean, it kind of starts, like, because... I'm trying to think. When is it that Henry and Michelle and Dr. Jacob come in and they go?
That's for quite
the West
late.
Ham, the West Ham game.
That's quite late. That's
because
not...
up until then he's like, he's not even. I think he's only just started dating Jade as well.
I feel like Nate's redemption should have honestly started, say, from episode three.
Yeah,
onwards, because that would have given us enough time for that build-up of, you know, him feeling bad about what happened and, you know, apologizing and everything. And I feel like because it sort of got focused on just the last episode, it felt very rushed.
Yeah,
because
a lot of things felt rushed.
Yeah, we see Nate going through it privately and what he's going through. And I loved watching that. I think that was an amazing episode for Nate because... Yeah. A lot of his problem is not just about, you know, what he's done to Ted and the Richmond people, but I think a lot of it is about himself. He needed to find what was missing in him.
True, and I think they focused on that really well.
Yeah,
like, that aspect was really good, but I don't know that the aspect of him redeeming himself to the team was explored very well. Like,
I agree.
Not just to Ted, but he did a lot of bad things, said horrible things to the team as well. And that's why the scene where it's Isaac, Colin, and Will go to be like, oh, we want you to come back to Richmond. Isaac, I kind of just, you know, it went over my head. But for Colin and Will to be there was kind of a little bit jarring to me because he was kind of... very awful to them.
I have one thing to add there, though.
Like,
I feel that I personally didn't think anything of it because, now, if you remember, like, you go back to season one and the way Nate is treated by everybody, including Colin, right? Compared to that, what Nate did was not horrible, right?
Yeah.
So in that sense, I can see Colin kind of going, you know what? That's okay. I'm happy to, because I treated him badly as part of the group. And it was, you know, it was just his resentment coming towards me. So I'm willing to let that go. I get that.
I can let Colin go, but I don't know that I can let Will go because Will was just the kit man while Nate had already been promoted.
And but you know what? Like, I get that. But again, I feel like if it had been before Ted... I feel like Will wouldn't have done it. Whereas now he's been with them for so long.
True.
He's taken that whole thing that Ted has sort of been... Because he's always there. Will is always in the background. He's always listening. He's always sort of... So I feel...
in the background. Literally in the background. It's so funny.
So I do think that him doing that is also not out of character because he has learnt...
True, but it was a little bit like, it felt a little too easy because it was like, maybe if we had a few more episodes to go and like, and the, you know, the whole thing of Nate cleaning out the locker room and giving him the, I'm sorry, with the lavender and everything hadn't just happened the episode before.
Yeah, I agree.
And we'd had some time to be like, you know, to like, to let it sink in.
Yeah.
And to even have, like, some kind of reaction of, like... Because we only... This is another problem I feel like we had with season three. We get told about big moments in the show, but we never get shown the big moments of the show. Like, I feel like there's some really big conversations that happened that we...
They tell us, don't show us.
That, exactly, yeah. That happened off screen. Like, in particular with the finale as well. Like, you know, I want to... Like, I don't know if this is just me, but I wanted to know what that conversation would have been like between Rebecca and Ted.
I agree.
When he tells her that he's leaving.
Yeah, I agree.
I was like... we've seen the both the truth bombs from her, and now we're getting a truth bomb from him, and we don't get to see it. So it was kind of like, I don't know. And then, like, I, again, could be just me, but I really wanted to see the team's actual reaction
To learning Ted leaving,
to them learning that information, not just, as much as I love the so long farewell, it was so adorable.
Yeah.
But I wanted to see, like, the actual genuine moment that had happened more than that.
Yeah.
You know? So, anyway, basically to say that season three is everyone kind of firstly dealing with the fallout with Nate. In particular, you know, the coaches.
Yeah.
And the team. And we are sort of now on the road to winning the championship.
Yeah.
Like, this is basically the overarching
arc
of the show, of the season. And then your other little arcs are basically, you know, Ted dealing with whatever, like, everything he's been dealing with so far. Like, you know, the split from Michelle.
Yeah.
And then, you know, having to co-parent Henry and being so far away from each other.
Yeah.
And then him also finding out that Michelle is dating
their therapist.
The most unethical thing that could possibly happen. I remember when that was revealed, everyone on Twitter was like, wait, what?
I feel like that moment was very much, like, I was always on the fence about Michelle, like, I honestly didn't feel anything for her. I was like, not
because we barely saw her, like, so it was like,
I hate Michelle.
Yeah, I was kind of like just that. Like, indifferent to her. I was like, I don't know her. We barely get to see her on the show. Whatever.
But then when that moment happened, I was like,
I was like, I do not like this woman. I just that's the most. I mean, even sassy when Ted tells her, he says it in a very, like, you know, Ted passive way, and she goes, "Oh wow, that's borderline
unethical." Yeah, exactly. Like, isn't sassy?
She's a child psychologist.
She's a child psychologist. Yeah. But anyway, I feel like if you were to sort of say, and we'll get into, like, the specifics in a bit.
Yeah.
But if you were to say, compared to the previous seasons. Do you think, in terms of strength, where does this season stand?
I think it literally goes in the order of the seasons. It's 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
Looking back on it now, like, when we were in the moment and watching it, I was really, like, loving it. And I think the first half of the season is still, like, pretty good. I just think the second half is very rushed in, like, the stories that we're trying to wrap up and tell.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when we got to episode 10, I was like, there's still so much left
to do. So much left, I know.
There's still so much left to do. How can we do this? And it just was so quick that I was like, I'm getting whiplash. So, I think, in terms of strength, it is third.
I agree. So, I feel like, obviously, the first season's always going... Not always, but the first season is the strongest in this show, definitely. But I feel like there were moments in this
season.
Which were really solid, which we have not had before.
In terms of, like, a full episode being really, really good, there's two. I think Sunflowers, the Amsterdam episode.
Yes.
And I think International Break is also really
good. Oh, yes. Those two were really good.
Those are the two strongest episodes, I think, of the season.
I think I would say Sunflowers or the Amsterdam episode would be my favorite episode in this season.
Yeah.
I just think that we get so many aspects of the team, of Rebecca, of Ted, of Higgins. and Will that we've only sort of like heard of in snippets,
yeah,
but we've never seen before. And it's kind of like comes into like this real moment for all of them. So I think good segue here to kind of go into some of the characters that kind of sparkled in this season.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to talk about this.
Overall, apart, obviously Ted, yes. But apart from Ted. Debatable. And maybe even Rebecca. Let's leave Rebecca
aside for now. Yeah.
Other than these two, who do you think were like the standouts for this season?
Jamie.
Yes. Oh, hello, Mr. Phil Dunster.
I'm going to put him first and foremost because, oh my gosh, Jamie Tartt.
What a change.
I did not think that when you go back and watch him in season one, that he would ever get to this spot that he is now and literally be probably one of my favorite characters of them all.
I like, agree.
He was so amazing in this season. Like, every moment was so purposeful with him.
I agree.
I can't even, like, begin to, like, describe how happy it makes me.
I think Jamie has always been my favorite character.
Yeah,
and I remember at the end of season one, I was like, this dude's gone. He's not coming back he's not in coming season back. Two. And I was so sad.
Yeah.
Because I knew, because this is something that always happens to me. I always fall for a character who's always, like, the bad boy. And he's like, you know, I need to see a bit
and
of
then
redemption.
Has, like, a bit of redemption.
And then it's gone. Right? Yeah. You never see them ever again. But then they brought him back in season two. And he has an even better arc in season two. And I'm
and
just
then
like,
even better in season three.
Man, what they did with that man in season three was just chef's kiss.
Literally, it's
beautiful.
Chef's kiss. And I don't know who handled the majority of his arc. By whoever it was, thank you very much.
And I feel like the good thing about his arc was that he remained true to who he was.
Yeah.
Like, he's still the jerk. He's still the asshole. He's still, you know, cocky.
Yeah.
And shitty and still annoying. But
with
a purpose. And you see what he's struggling with. You see his vulnerable moments. The episode in which they go back to Manchester.
Yeah.
And we meet his mum.
Yeah.
You know, and you really see what someone like Jamie is struggling with and all that pressure that you deal with. And, you know, theoretically, we know what he's, you know, we saw the stuff with his dad.
Yeah.
But that's not the end of it. You know, just because he punched his dad and, you know, I got a Roy Kent hug, it's not all hunky dory after that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? So I thought that was really nice. And he was such an interesting character right from the get-go.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they kind of kept the momentum going for him.
Yeah.
And he ended really well, because this is where I'm going to come to a little bit of a gripe with in this episode, in the season, I would say. Roy Kent.
Yeah.
Apart from Jamie Tartt, my other two favorites were Roy Kent and Keely Jones.
Oh, yeah.
And this season, I did not get my Roy Kent and Keely Jones.
No, I did not either.
I still got some good Keely Jones moments.
Yeah.
But I did not get good Roy Kent moments.
I think the episode with her and the whole leaked tape and everything.
Yeah, that was a good
very,
episode.
Very, very
good.
I think she was, Shunho Temple was incredible in that. Like, she was very, like, stoic in the moments that she needed to be. And then, like, you know, emotional in the moments that she needed to be. And I think she did a really good job with that. But, you know, and I understand some of the talk online of, like, this was never a show about ships and da-da-da. But, that has a caveat. We get this really interesting, like, coming together of these two people who you wouldn't think would fit so well together.
And they fit beautifully
And they fit
together.
So beautifully.
Yeah.
And, like, it's that whole thing of, like, so way back in season one, I think they get together and, like, I mean, they kiss in Make Rebecca Great Again.
Yeah.
And then the next episode after that is The Dime Dogs, where they go on their first date and, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, she's slept with Jamie beforehand somewhere in the middle because she feels like he's rejected her after the kiss that Roy's rejected her. And then they have that whole thing of like, you know, you kissed him, now I'm not going to ask you out and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And basically Coach Beard and Ted and Nate and Higgins being like, well, you know, get over it. You're not together right now.
Yeah.
This, put this behind you and then you can start your journey as courtship, as Higgins says. He's like, nothing like the early days of courtship.
I love
Higgins. So we see them coming together in this really interesting way. And the dynamic that they also then have with his niece.
Oh, Amy. I know. That episode, the Christmas episode. The Christmas episode is the cutest
of the three of them. It's so adorable. Oh, it's
so cute.
And this whole thing is that, like, they're so, like, at the opposite ends of the spectrum. She's, like, Miss, you know, sunshine and rainbows. And he's, you know, Oscar the Grouch, basically.
Grumpy and sunshine.
Grumpy and sunshine ending up together in a relationship that was hope for all of us out there. Oh, they were our representatives of, like, you know, these two, like, opposite ends being together and really gelling and really fitting together.
And it made sense because they were both from the same world. They shared things in common.
And he brought it, he was so, like, you know, supportive of the things that she wanted. And she also encouraged him to rise to the occasion and, you know, to let go of the negative things that were holding him back and, you know, go on to be a pundit and go on to be the one of the coaches. Like, she encouraged all of that out of him. And they were so well suited to each other. And then the breakup in season three made no sense.
Yeah.
Them barely having any scenes together of, like, trying to mend the relationship back together until the very end. But even that didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
I get that we had to have the little thing with Jack in the middle. I understood that. I'm okay with
the Jack thing. I'm fine with
that.
Fine.
She needed that to, like, sort of push her towards the space that she was in because of the breakup.
Yeah.
But Jack, I feel like idiot,
after
but
the whole Jack thing, it should have been, the show should have, or rather the season should have ended with these two together.
Oh yeah.
Because I totally agree. It did not make sense. And look, even after the episode with the whole Manchester City thing, when it ends with Jamie sitting there and then Kent and Keely join him and they all three of them sitting and having a drink together and Ted sort of looking on with a
really
smile
cute
on his face.
Yeah.
But then they went and ruined it at the end, didn't they?
That, I was not, like, even within that scene in the finale, Roy is literally saying things like, whatever happens on Sunday, just know I'm proud of you, like, you know, and Jamie being like, no one's ever said, I've never had someone in my life who said those things to me, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And then they start fighting over Keely, like, within the same scene, within the same breath.
And I feel...
I
was a bit on the fence about that. Initially, I was like, you know what? In a way, it's kind of like something... A fight like this is not going to come between their built friendship. But then I'm thinking, then it's Keely, though.
Sort of did.
She is, like, important.
Yeah.
You know, she's not some insignificant girl that they're hitting on.
Exactly. And she's important to both of them and to both of their histories.
Yeah.
And maybe one of their futures. Mm. But, like, it just felt so unnecessary. And, like, she could have easily come to the conclusion of not being with either of them like she does.
Without this whole
without
fight
this
thing,
fight, this stupid, unnecessary fight happening.
I actually don't have a problem with her ending up with neither of them.
I also don't have a problem with
that. I am okay with that. But I don't like the fact that they had to fight over Keely.
Exactly. But I'm... the next bit to that is that I'm glad that Roy at the end does recognize that he needs to be
more mature,
and, like, he's like, what does he say in that scene? He's like, this whole year I've been trying to better myself, but I'm just the same person. And then you know, Higgins coming out with Higgins with his classics and being like, you know, human beings aren't going to be perfect, and, like, you know, we have to take you know, who we are and just, you know, try to better ourselves no matter what. And then that, in our own way, that's perfection. Or I'm paraphrasing what he said because I don't fully remember. But, you know, Higgins with his amazing quotes. And then he does, you know, he goes, like, as we see at the end of the episode, he is in therapy with Sharon.
Yeah.
I think that's the step to whatever the next step that he needs to take. Because we forget... he was a protege in soccer.
Yeah, exactly. He's never known anything else.
He started playing at 9. This has been his life for like 30 years. Mm. Maybe. I'm miscalculating. I don't know. Maybe he's 25. He's in his 40s,
yeah.
30.
Yeah.
Let's say 30. But like, there is going to be so much trauma and so much like stuff muddled in his head from
that
like,
he's gonna have to walk
everything
through.
That he's been through. So I completely support the fact that he's taken this step. I think that's amazing, and we get to see that. And, you know, that he is now the new manager of the
But
team.
I think he could have gotten to that point without that fight with Jamie.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
It could have happened after the fact of, like, you know, where they're sitting in Jamie's bedroom and he says to Keely, like, I don't want us to be just friends. And she's about to say something, but then Jamie comes
in. In fact, I thought that was the moment where they would have decided, okay, you know what, moving forward, our goal now is to try and be together. It's not that, yes, 100% we're together.
And she could have been like, we can't be together right now because
I think you need to fix
what's happening with you.
But let's work towards it.
This is
end goal.
I think that would have been a really good conversation.
Absolutely. And it leaves it open for if they do come back for another season, what we
and
might see.
And then maybe we see another version of them courting.
Courting, exactly. More mature and, you know.
More mature, you know, more meaningful interaction. You know, it just, I don't know.
More settled.
More settled.
Yeah, more settled, definitely.
Both settled within themselves, you know?
Definitely. I will say, I think one of my favorite things about this season was the addition of all these, like, secondary sort of storylines, especially with Sam, because we get introduced to Sam. Obviously, early on, like, you know, Ted sort of notices him first because Sam is similar to Ted. You know, he's out of his comfort zone, he's in a new country, and you know, he's missing home, similar to Ted. So I feel like we've always had this sort of affinity with him. He's almost like a mirror to Ted, because he is very different.
True.
But he is sort of in that vein of like a similar way. He's trying to make a life for himself, you know, and he's trying to sort of stand up, but he's doing the right things.
Yeah.
And I think...
I agree.
Yeah, and I really, really liked how they've shown Sam. And towards the end of it, like, I really like the bit where it's in the international break when he doesn't get selected for the World Cup.
Yeah.
He's really bummed about it.
Yeah.
But he doesn't let that stop him.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a nice sort of way to look at
this
character. In fact, we've grown to love, absolutely.
Like, a nice little addition, not just seeing him in the Nigerian team. I would like to have known how he got there, because Edwin Okufu made it a point to be like, I will make your life a living hell. Mm. You will never get on that team. So how did it happen?
Maybe Rebecca.
I mean, I hope so. I think when... international break happens, and then there's that last scene with Ted and Rebecca on the newspaper. It says something about like Edwin Okufu's dream to have something something like that.
Well, it was about the super team.
The Super League. So it was like Super League canceled or something like that. So I guess that's bad enough press
where
his influence has kind of gone down. So I guess it's a little something, but I mean, yeah. But yeah, Sam, I mean, Sam is just another great character that I love. And he was so, like, timid and shy at the start. And then, like, he's
come
blossomed
into his own,
so much over the two seasons.
He's so confident now. Like, and he knows who he is.
Yeah.
You know? And I love
that. He's amazing. Because, like, the whole experience with Jamie. Mm. And he was so, like, you can't bring him back. You can't. Yeah.
And now they're
best friends. Thank you very much. I don't care if Jamie says that his best friend is Isaac.
Oh my god!
Because you know who's gonna contest that? Colin.
True. Speaking of Colin, I think this is where we bring in Colin and Isaac. Aww. I think this is a really great relationship. And that Colin. Whole episode of Colin.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Colin first. I was sure from the moment that child mentioned Grindr. That he was going to be gay. I kept saying it. I was like, yep, this is going to be a storyline.
You know, again, I didn't really think much of it. I was like, oh, he's just like a small-time character. And I did not think they would go in deep with him. And I love that they did.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he was so... He had some great moments in the season. And I love that he built a relationship with Trent Crim, who was also amazing this season. Yes. Love that we got Trent like the whole season. He was such a good addition. I was like, yes, I love Trent so much. And, you know, we finding out that Trent is also gay. And then, you know, him sort of being kind of like Colin's mentor in this journey to, like, accepting this part of himself. And that's one of the scenes that I really love in the Amsterdam episode, is them talking about it. And Colin being like, you know, Dr. Sharon made me realize there's this ache inside of me. And I have, like, two lives, you know. And he's like, I'm just wanting to join those two lives together.
And I like that that sort of comes full circle with him, not just personally and romantically when his boyfriend comes on to the pitch and
which totally him. Delivers on what he says about kissing his boyfriend
exactly
on the
pitch.
I was like, oh,
but it's not just about that, it's about him becoming a better footballer as well, because now he doesn't have that weight weighing down on him. He's actually able to open up,
and you see that in the episode with Isaac, because actually it's just before that where Isaac, they're having some conversation about like deleting stuff from your phone, and he takes the phone from Colin
when he finds
out, and he clearly sees stuff on his phone, and he doesn't speak to him for the next full episode. And then there's that encounter with the fan, and Isaac nearly beats that guy to the pulp.
I really like how they handled it. I don't know what everyone's reactions to that were.
No, everyone was like, because when it came out that Isaac was going to be annoyed with Colin, everyone was like, oh god, where is this gonna go?
But it was kind of like a fake out, and I really
everyone was like
that.
Oh no, there's gonna be a break of friendship and he's gonna be like a homophobe or something. Everyone was kind of like, oh no, but then when it happened like that, I was like, this guys, it's gonna be fine.
But I liked about that whole thing was that not only was it a fake out, it's kind of like, oh yeah, whatever, so it's a bit of a surprise. I think it gives space to a character like Isaac, who's very much like black and white, you know? Yeah. It gives him space to process with news that is not... I think for him, it's not a problem that Colin's gay.
No.
The problem is that Colin didn't share it with
him. And that's what he says to him at the end. He's like, what is it about me that you couldn't tell me?
Exactly. So
and
Colin, I think it's a
like,
bit of introspection for him, going, what is deficient about me that my best friend can't open up?
And a lot of people online were like, that was really like telling scene, and that was a really good scene, because you know, a lot of people were commenting on their own experience of coming out to their friends and things like that, and be like, this is exactly how it sort of happened, because Colin says, he's like, no, it wasn't about you, it was about me, because you know, I didn't think that it would be a problem. But then there's that 1% of you that has that fear.
Yeah.
And then people are talking about that has happened to me, because there's like, you know, there's friends who I've been with, had in my life like 15 years and they didn't know. And then when they do find out, they're like, oh, how, you know, you didn't tell. And, but it is that fear of like, you do kind of be like, oh, it'll be okay, they'll be fine with it. But then there's just that one little thing that it's like, it could go wrong and they might reject me. And it is that fear. And then they represented that so well in their relationship as well.
Yeah.
Because we've always seen them so close. And then, you know, there was all this happened and you're like, oh, well, you can't see them not being close anymore. That would be kind of sad. Because as much as they are, you know, a couple of, you know, supporting characters, we love this team. They're our team. Like, we don't want to see them fighting with each other.
If they were real, we would totally go for them.
Exactly. they would be our team.
Yes.
Forever and ever.
Amen.
sure. But, yeah, just... I just loved the way it all just, you know, culminated at the end with them talking and... You know, Isaac asking him all these questions.
That was funny. Like, that was really funny.
And then at the end where he's like, I love you, boy. And he's just like, you can't say it, can you? And he's like, no.
No.
But you know I do, right? Like, it was just so sweet.
It was sweet.
It was adorable.
I think that's really nice. But because it acknowledges the fact that there are so many people who, you know, people say, oh, you're homophobic just because you can't openly express that you love someone who is gay or, you know, in... But I think it's people, like, I think of, like, our parents, you know, like they've been brought up in a different time period. They hold no hate against anybody. They love these people. But
yeah,
there is a natural hesitancy because they've never been exposed to anything like
that's
that.
That's going
to
happen with anyone of that generation. And that's going
to
happen
to anybody in that generation. Yeah. Even though Isaac is not from that generation, he's a product of that generation. Yeah. And that, you know, that toxic masculinity
and
thing.
And this is all learned behavior.
Exactly. Exactly. So you have to sort of, I don't like that whole thing of like, let's condemn this person straight away just because they have a negative reaction. And, you have to give them time to process.
And that's also another point in that episode, because Colin goes to training. He's like, Isaac knows. And he's like, okay, what happened? He's like, he's not talking to me. He won't say anything about it. And Trent's like, okay, just give him a second. Just give him some time.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, it's really funny because Ted's on the teleconference with Michelle and Ruth's teacher. Yeah. And Colin comes in, he's like, Isaac knows. And Trent's like, that Ted's son is failing science. Scandal. Like, it's so, oh my God.
Okay. Now, I think we should talk about the finale episode. And we should talk about our two main characters and a couple of others in there. But I really think we need to talk about Rebecca first.
Yes.
Talk
about her journey and then...
Yeah, her journey. What do you think in terms of, like, satisfaction? If this was the end, which it most likely is.
Satisfied with the concept of it,
but
not satisfied with the delivery.
Because,
again, it felt rushed.
I will agree that it felt rushed, but you know what? I don't particularly have a problem with it.
I have a problem in the sense that... I don't know. I really don't know. I think Broke Guy is hot.
Oh my
right?
God, he is
He's
so
hot. He really is.
Hot Dutch guy.
Hot
Thank
Dutch
you?
Guy, sorry.
HDG. No, HDG.
Hot Dutch guy.
Yeah.
Trademark.
Hot.
He
doesn't have a name.
He doesn't have a name,
show.
Guys. He does not. He's in the Amsterdam episode. We never learned his name.
He is very, very hot.
I think the potential of him is interesting. I know that we've talked about this and you were like, oh, I love it, it's great, but and that, you know, it stayed at that one night and
I'll tell you why I feel the way I feel. You finish your point though.
I get all that, I get it so much, but Rebecca is the person who we have seen literally since the first opening frame of this show, right? We have been so invested in everything that has happened in her life, from the divorce of Rupert and then, you know, her learning to accept herself outside of that and, like, learning to accept that people aren't going to hurt her, aren't going to, like, leave her just because he did. Building friendships with these people who she was trying to ruin. And now, like, you know, she's been through so much and she's been through... a lot in season two as well, with trying to find her journey of, like, self-acceptance, yes, but also, like, someone to love and to be loved by. Like, and, you know, there was some great stuff with Sam. Amazing stuff with Sam.
Yeah.
And then to only be given someone for her to have potential with in episode six... Like, and the thing is, her journey in this season was, like, again, she goes to the psychic. The psychic gives her all these signs of, like, you know, this is going to happen in your life and that's going to happen. And you will be a mother. You will have a family, you know, green matchbook and shite nining armor and, you know, all you're upside down, and but you're safe.
Water.
And thunder and lightning never happened, by the way. Just putting it out there.
Oh, my gosh.
Thunder and lightning never happened. Just a little.
Ted Lasso continuity issues.
Thunder and lightning did not happen.
Someone messed up.
Who knows? Who knows who? But I just think that we have been with her for so long. She is literally my favorite character. She is my favorite character. And to only be given this one person in episode six And then to not have that go anywhere and then till the very end. I get it that it's that thing of like serendipitous kind of meeting again. And I get all that. But yeah. I just think she's been through so much and we've been through it with her. I wanted to get to know the person who was going to love her and she was going to love. I wanted to know that person. I wanted to see what they were like together. It could have happened that, you know, they meet at the start of the season and then Amsterdam happens. And then...
So, like, get to see a little bit of her romance.
Exactly. Like, maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe Amsterdam was the opening of the season and then somehow they meet in, like, episode 4 or something again. Like, because he's a pilot. He can literally go anywhere, right? So, and then have them doing the banter, like... They have chemistry, we know that. To see that unfold throughout the season would have been amazing. Yeah. And then maybe something happens in the end, like they lose touch somehow.
Yeah.
And then the airport scene happens.
Okay,
and
it's like, I have...
You know, like...
I have two ways of looking at it. The romantic in me and the absolute, like, super fan of Rebecca. I would love... I go with your point. I would love to see a bit more romance. And plus, I want to see a little bit more of the hot Dutch guy. He is hot. And, you know, the two of them were like, ooh, fire.
They were quite hot, yeah.
They were like the perfect Viking couple.
Yeah.
Like...
She's
I could imagine amazing. Them, like, on Vikings, you know?
If you don't already know, we are huge fans of Hannah Waddingham over here.
Yes, massive. Massive.
Yeah, Hannah, if you are listening by some serendipitous chance,
please, can we say hi?
We love you so much. I'm literally putting a call out. I'm begging. We love you. We would love to interview you on this podcast. Oh my god,
I think I would die of shock.
I would die of shock. But we would love to talk to you. So put the word out there, people. Put the word out there. We want to talk to Hannah.
Can you imagine if by some weird chance she listens to this? Hi, by the way.
Hi.
And she's like, you know what? These two random girls sitting in Australia, I'm going to give them a chance. I'm actually going to talk to them. I think the whole, literally, like the first 5 minutes of the interview, I wouldn't know what to say.
I don't know what to say to you. Oh my God. You're stunning. You're beautiful. Stop looking at me. My God. I can't handle it.
Anyway, so this is what I was saying. So there's two ways I can look at it. So my absolute, like, love for Rebecca, I agree. I would like to see a little bit more of the romance between them. My second way of looking at it is this. I loved their interaction in the Amsterdam episode.
Yeah.
I think it was perfect.
It was really good. Yeah.
That chemistry, they don't sleep together, but that they have that fire. Right? Which, you know, if they do, it's going to be, like...
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
It was gonna be good.
It would have been good.
Yeah.
And on top of that, like, you see absolute kindness from him. You see care. You see that he's not hitting on her and being creepy and checking her out. And, you know, he's concerned for her. He's making sure that she's okay. He's making sure that, you know, all of that. She has not had that from anybody. That we've seen.
Yeah.
Sam, perhaps. But again, Sam is a bit different.
Yeah.
Right?
And, like, even with Ted, it's totally different.
I'm talking about romantic
relationships. No, I know. But I'm just saying she has had kindness up until now.
True. But I'm talking about in a romantic sense.
Yeah.
Right? So, in terms of, like, a romantic sense, her husband, who was her most trusted person, has never shown her that. Yes, he swept her off her feet with romance, but he hasn't shown her kindness.
Yeah.
Especially after the divorce. He's never been kind to her.
Yeah.
So I think for her to experience that perfect joy in that moment, and it's simple.
What is the word?
Oh my God, I forgot what the word was. It was a Dutch word.
Gezellig.
Gezellig. Yeah. Right? And she's, you know, she's not even, her hair's not done. Her makeup's not done. She's not that perfect coiffed Rebecca.
Exactly.
Right? That we see.
And I love that, yeah.
He sees her as nobody else sees her.
Yeah.
Right? And that is so intimate.
Mm.
Okay? That moment is so perfect. I am happy with that. Because at the end when they meet, I know I can trust this man to take care of her. To take care of my Rebecca.
He better.
Right?
That's all I'm saying.
So in that way, I don't need to see that relationship evolve. In fact, it leaves that almost that fairy tale feeling in my mind, because maybe if I see too much, I might not like it. Do you know what I mean? Sure. You expose too much and you may not like it.
But, I just wanted more. Like, like I said, I'm okay with the concept. Yeah. I like all this. This is great. This is good, you know, stuff to bounce off of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know the person who absolutely loves my Rebecca, because I love her so much.
Yeah.
And I just want her to be...
So I'm justifying my feelings towards it in this way. That I am happy for her to be with him. And we do see them together at Higgins' barbecue at the end. And she looks very... She's wearing jeans. She never wears jeans.
Yeah.
You know? And she looks so casual. And her hair's all, like, you know, not perfect. And so she can be herself with him. She doesn't have to be this made-up businesswoman all the time.
Yeah, I love that.
And I love that. And that little glimpse of her, you know, with the little girl... It gives me the assurance that she's going to be, you know, that mother figure. And she has a family. Yeah, exactly. Her family is Richmond.
She has the family. Her family is Richmond. And the mother aspect, I guess, is the girl. Side note. Production. People.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Do not cast one child to play two roles. Because we will notice. We know that the little girl in the mirror... was also the Dutch guy's daughter.
I didn't notice that. You noticed
that. I literally went, that's the same kid.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
I know. Trust me, I know.
Maybe it's not that noticeable to other people.
Everyone's talking about it. So, casting director?
Oh, my God, that's funny.
I'm sorry, but we noticed.
Oh, gosh. Okay. All right. So, having said that about Rebecca... Yes. I think I'm happy with it. But if they do come back, I really, really want to see more of this relationship.
I can get to a good place with her, of being satisfied with it.
And this is where we come to our last, but not least, Mr. Ted Lasso himself.
We're going
to
talk about Ted, and then we'll just talk about some quick little things in the finale that we loved, didn't quite love, and then we'll move on to the rest. But Ted, in the finale... did not feel like my Theodore Lasso.
No.
He was just different.
He felt checked out.
Checked out.
Yeah.
And
maybe that's the vibe they were going for. But it just didn't feel...
It felt... This was not the same... And he changed between one episode.
I know.
Like, he had that great moment with his mom with the whole thank you, F you scene.
Yeah.
And then, you know, him breaking down at the end when she mentions Henry.
Yeah.
That didn't need to be there, Mom. Sorry. You.
And I think that's what
you
ruined
it. Yeah. You didn't need to do that, Mom. Sorry, so Dottie Lasso. Mother.
We blame Dottie Lasso.
She's not a good mom. Sorry. who comes to London for a full week, then sees her son, stays for 3 days, and then goes off while he's sleeping. Like, what? After leaving such a big, like...
Dottie Lasso needs a session with
Not Jen. Everything can be fixed with sunflower seed bread, Dottie. Okay? Sorry. whatever. Anyway. He felt checked out. He felt like he was just like bubbling up under the surface, and any minute, like off screen, he would like absolutely explode with everything that he's holding back. Like he was just, he felt like he was white knuckling the scene.
I agree.
Like, he didn't look... I wanted him to be able to feel his feelings. Mm. Like
all that work that we've done.
Has felt his feelings throughout this series. He has been so vulnerable in front of a lot of people. In front of Rebecca. In front of his friends. Yes, he didn't cry and have a panic attack. But he trusted these people with this information about himself. And, you know, we know that Nate... took that and ran. But then... And he's been vulnerable in front of Dr. Sharon. And, like, you know, all these things have happened to him. And we just want this man to be happy because he deserves it. He deserves it more than most people. Like, you know... And we understand his reasoning for wanting to go back. We understand it's about Henry. But I wanted just him to be like... Oh my God, I'm leaving this place that has literally saved my life, has changed
because
my life.
Because I feel, and this is something it's I've been got grappling to mean something. With. Yeah, I've been grappling with since the end of the finale. We watched it last Wednesday. And one of the things, like, I've all, like, in my head, I'm just like, I have to be satisfied with this, but how can I be satisfied? Because number one, like, he's never going to be perfectly happy, because if he decides to remain at Richmond, he doesn't have Henry with him. And yeah. if he, you know, goes to, which he does go back to Henry, he doesn't have Richmond with him. So either way, either situation, he's never going to be perfectly happy.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then he's not the type of person who would be like, you know what, Henry, come and live with me, leave your mom. Right? He's never going to do this. Especially right now. Henry's too young.
True.
You know? And, I mean, and because... And look, Michelle's not a bad mother. She's actually a good mother. So you can't sort of be like, oh yeah, you know, Henry, go live with your dad. He's too young for that. Maybe when he was... He's 16 or something.
Yeah, right? When he can make that decision himself as
when
well.
When he can make that decision. But no, right now he's
that.
Too young.
And I think that across the board, everybody has said it makes... This is always... This ending for him going back to Henry...
Yeah.
Asterisk there... Makes sense because that is what it's always been. That's what's been the plan. But what has not been the plan is for him to be so silent in the face of other people's emotions.
I agree. And I'm even okay with the, you know how we were talking about, like, or if the whole that sequence at the end is a dream sequence or not, that, you know, he's not there at Beard's wedding. I'm okay with that.
I'm not though.
The thing is,
I mean, I guess we'll get to that, but, like, I would restructure the whole thing, to be honest.
I would. Ideally, I would.
Yeah.
I'm not happy with it. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm happy with it. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm okay with it. I could learn to be okay with it in some other regard as well. But like how I was saying, like, he has felt so much of everything that he's going through in front of all these people. These people are his family now.
Yeah.
And for him to have, like, very neutral reactions to people showing him emotion, he's never done that.
Yeah.
He's always embraced people's emotion and given back as well. And so, even with the whole so long farewell, he was like, great job, guys. That was perfect.
Yeah.
It felt very, like, one note. And then, like, even Rebecca being really emotional in the bleachers to him of, like, you know, you mean... so much, like, I feel like I would be underpaying you for how much you mean to this club. Yeah. And she's like, you know, consider that this is also your home. Yeah. And then she says, would you please stay? And she's getting really emotional.
Like, she's blubbering.
Someone made a really good point. They were like, she said about 190 words in that whole scene.
He said didn't three. Say anything. Yeah.
He just said, yeah, I do.
But I think...
And then even the airport scene, I can still be like, in the bleachers, it was a great monologue for Rebecca. It was a great moment for her to have just that one note.
But the airport, but she's vulnerable a second time.
And she's even more vulnerable. She's actually crying properly, full on sobbing.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I just wanted, and I'm not saying he had to break down or anything.
Yeah.
But just, like, hug her a little tighter.
Yeah.
Take a little longer to let go.
You know what I really like? If they do come back, I hope that this has an impact on their relationship. Because, see, I've never shipped them.
Yeah.
I'm not a shipper of
I like the concept, but...
I'm okay with it. If it was to ever happen, I would be fine. If they had set it up that way. Yeah. They've never set it up that way. And I am not a shipper because I am one of those people who I love to see platonic relationships.
Yeah.
Good platonic friendships.
Yeah.
I do not like it when they muddle everything with sex.
I can see what people are saying about it. I really can. I am not going to be one of those people like, just because, you know, this happened doesn't mean that it's actually going to happen. Or, like, your opinion is wrong. I'm never going to do that to people.
No,
I can understand why shippers are feeling a certain way right
now. Sometimes
totally
you just fall for a couple and you think, they're
great. I get it. Mm. And you know what? To be honest, that first scene, the cold open, was a little bit of a bait. It was.
Which one?
Like, of him coming into the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I was like...
That was bait.
People are not going to like that, and I personally don't like that either.
I didn't like it either.
I was like, don't do that to people. Yeah. Don't
give them hope. So this is the thing. I have always liked them together as friends because we do not see good platonic friendships between men and women often enough that are not toxic. And I feel in that moment at the end, slightly toxic because she's being so vulnerable. He doesn't say anything. So if they do come back, if something does happen, like, I hope that has some kind of impact on their relationship.
Yeah.
Because they're soulmates.
Oh, yeah.
And he did not respond in a way that would have made her feel as if she can trust him.
Yeah.
You know, with what she's saying and what she feels for him. Because it's not a romantic love. It's very much this love of this friend, dear friend that she's losing.
Yeah.
Of this person who has become such a big part of her family and her life.
And who has always embraced her emotion.
Absolutely.
In the past.
And in this one moment, you do not. So I feel like if they do come back, this needs to be referenced.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And even just him at the end, I just... So again, you know, we've had this whole thing with Dr. Jacob and everything throughout the season, and he's kind of spiraled, like, Ted kind of spirals in the middle when he's like, oh, you know, they're going off to Paris, they're going to get engaged, blah, blah, blah. And then in the finale, we see him with Henry and Michelle watching the game.
Yeah.
And he's so, like, you know, brushing it off, like, oh, it's just, you know, they're going to end in a tie, and blah, blah, blah. And he's just, like, making light of everything, and he's kind of making fun of it, too. And you keep seeing them getting annoyed with him. And then he's not there at the end, right? Like, so does that mean that's just it.
That
like
Michelle
that
and
whole
Doctor are together that, or not.
The game is just where we see him and then that's it. So, like,
it's too ambiguous.
It's too ambiguous. The ending is too ambiguous. And the creators have said it's purposely ambiguous.
I don't like that.
And I don't like that because, again, we've seen him going through this whole journey. What was the point of him getting a divorce from this woman and learning to live with that situation and, you know, going into this co-parenting thing and, like, all this stuff happening if they might just end up back together and fall into the same spiral? Because I don't believe that they won't. Like,
I agree.
Just because she's might be happy with him again because he's this different person from London doesn't mean she's then going to also then be satisfied.
No.
Because I think old stuff would just end up coming back.
I think, look, they will always be a family.
There will always be a family. Because and that's what he says in that episode when he learns about this. Mm. And he, you know, the next episode after he's had like several sessions with Dr. Sharon in that montage. Yeah. And he says at the end, he's like, you know, this whole situation has really ticked me off, but... We have to learn to be co-parents. We have to look, because any way you look at it, we have to raise this kid together.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love Henry and I love our family and whatever shape that looks like. Mm. So it's that's
and
him accepting
that. And you can't forget
that.
The fact that they met when they were in high school.
Exactly.
You know, they've been kids since, you know, they've grown up together, essentially. Oh. They've had a child together. So, and it's not that, you know, something really heinous happened and, you know, yes, she cheats on him, but he only finds that out later.
Yeah.
But at the time, he doesn't know what's happened. So, and he's not the type of person who would hold a grudge.
Yeah.
I can't talk. Who would hold a grudge.
Yeah.
So I get that. But I think it was the responsibility of the writers. Because you have been championing from day one, good mental health, good communication, good relationships, positive relationships. Yet you've got your title character who is ending on this very ambiguous note where we don't know whether he's happy or not. And I like the whole callback to, you know, think of what Higgins says about perfection.
Yeah.
Nothing is perfect. And yes, no situation is perfect.
No.
You know, Rebecca, if she ends up with hot Dutch guy, yes, she gets a daughter because she's a stepmother, but it's still not a perfect situation. She's not... physically she can't have a kid, you know, whatever. That's what we assume from the doctor's call that she receives a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
But neither of their situations are perfect.
Yeah.
And Ted's isn't either. However, you can be in an imperfect situation yet find happiness and peace within that. And I don't feel that Ted
finds
peace.
And it's not about
peace.
Like, oh, he's with his son, he's happy. That's not the issue. Mm. Yes, he is happy with his son. Of course he is. How can he not be? But the thing is, you know, people are like, oh, but he goes back to, like, break the spiral that, you know, that happened with his own father. Yeah. He wants to be able to be there for
and
his son.
And that's fair.
Absolutely. I get that.
Mm.
But isn't it also a good message to, you know, be, like, embracing this thing that you've lost and and being, and, you know, trying to mull that over in your head and trying to accept that.
Embrace the grief of losing what you have lost.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. That's what I was trying to say. Embrace what you have lost and, you know, use that as a lesson to one day teach your son in the future.
Of coping, you know, with an imperfect situation. Of coping situation. With you can't have everything you want.
And that's that whole thing of, like, what Beard says to Henry when they're listening to Hey Jude.
Yeah.
That guy playing Hey Jude. And he's like,
yeah,
you have the ability to take a sad song and make it better.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know,
yeah,
you know, just because your parents are living in separate countries doesn't mean they don't love you.
Yeah.
You have the power to take a sad song and make it better.
And I think Ted doesn't, or at least we don't see him do it. So I feel like, I don't know what went wrong. Is it something? And I feel like Brendan Hunt kind of messed it up by doing the Reddit Ask Me Anything. Reddit, I feel like,
me anything.
Yeah, he shouldn't really have done that.
Because leave it. Especially so close to this. It should have happened like a few months from now. I think
emotions are still too
raw still.
Oh my gosh.
And this is the thing, like, we get that scene at the, in the middle, where, you know, Trent is looking over the notes that they've left on his book. And Ted is left like, oh, love the book. One suggestion,
I would change the
title. It's not about me. It never was. I get the meta-ness of all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, people like, oh, it was never about Ted. And, you know, it's called Ted Lasso. It is about Ted. We have been invested in his story since the very beginning. Like, we want him to be happy, and we want him to find that, that, you know, balance in his life. And I think he's a little bit off kilter right now.
I feel like it doesn't have to be. I agree. It's not about Ted. It's about everybody else. But despite that, all of those people have received whatever little ending they have.
Yeah.
We know that they're happy. We know they're secure.
Most of them are left on a good note. Right? Yeah.
But even, it doesn't have to be about Ted. I'm trying to say, it doesn't not have to be about Ted and then end this way.
Yeah.
You know, I hope that makes sense. Like, I feel like it still could very well be not about Ted, and yet we could see him in a good position.
Yeah.
You know? All my thing
was, like, he had to feel his London feelings. Like, I wanted scenes of him being that, like, you know, go, like, to sort of mirror the pilot where he goes onto the pitch and he's looking around. Maybe he touches the grass again like he does in the pilot.
That would have been nice. You know, like,
and then he goes into the locker room and he's looking around. Yeah. And, like, maybe we get a, like, a callback to the one he said, smells like potential and blah, blah, blah. And then he goes into his office and he sees all the little things in there. And, like, you know, just having this moment of, like, saying goodbye to this place.
Because, honestly, it just feels like he's stepped back. Yeah. All of that work that he's done, he's stepped back.
It really felt like a regression.
By not acknowledging.
Yeah.
And he might have done it in private, perhaps, and they haven't shown it to us.
Moments off screen.
Yeah, but we don't know whether he did that.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're not going to show it to us, we don't know.
Anyway. So it will live forever in fan fiction.
Exactly. So, is okay. I think we should end on a positive note.
Stuff we liked about the finale?
Yes. Yes. So, good things that we really enjoyed about the finale.
Yeah, so long farewell. That was amazing.
Oh my gosh, that sequence was so cute.
The funniest is Cola Bikini, who plays Isaac. On Twitter, he was like, yes, that was my voice. I'm sorry.
That was cute.
You weren't that bad either, sorry. You weren't that bad either. Yeah, loved that. Loved Roy saying that he wants to be a diamond dog. Asking if he can be a diamond dog. Finally, after so long,
finally
a diamond dog, and his little woof woof at the end was so funny. Trent wanting Ted to like the book, like he kept looking for like
a little,
and then Ted laughed. He's like, "So you do laugh, but you only laughed at page 43. What is wrong with you?" Love that the game itself.
Oh, that was brilliant.
So tense.
That was brilliant.
It was amazing. Like, there's one whole section that had me, like, I was, like, on the edge of my seat where Jamie tries to take the shot. It doesn't get in.
Oh,
then
God,
then
yes.
Danny tries to take the shot with like this full on move, oof, like leg in the air and everything.
It doesn't,
go in. Hughes, Colin tries to take a shot. He headbutts it in. It doesn't go in. Sam tries to take a shot. It doesn't go in. Actually, Sam's before Colin.
Yeah.
And then after Colin is Jamie, and it finally goes in.
Oh,
it is
so good.
Like the tension of that was great. And then just after that, there's a scene where the camera flips and they're all walking, like, he's taken the goal, they're all walking, and they just look like this united.
Yes, united front.
Like, it's total football, man. Yeah. Like,
they finally, they got it.
It was so good.
They
loved that.
Got it.
Loved that. Rupert's downfall.
Oh, geez.
Was
that was
amazing.
Good.
And the whole, like, calling him a wanker. Like,
yeah, the echoes of the wanker wanker.
Exactly.
I think that was brilliant.
Like, because Ted got that in the first season, now Rupert's getting it. I was like, yes.
You know what I liked about that bit was the coach from the other team.
Yeah.
He was always berating Richmond.
Yeah.
And this was the moment where he was like, respectfully.
Yeah, he was like,
know?
I'm not going to do that.
I'm not
going to
do that.
He kept saying, like,
that.
You know, you have to break Jamie
and
get him out of here.
And he gives Ted, like, this nod, like, very respectful nod.
He was like, I'm not going to play the game that way.
And I really loved
it. Loved
that. That was good.
It was great. To like this guy who saw all the way from the pilot because he's getting fired in the first episode.
Oh my
episode.
God, he's awful.
He's awful. Rebecca
and then
just
he becomes the pundit.
He's like,
thing.
You're blatant misogyny for one. Yes, a big word, I know. Ask one of your daughters what it means. Like, it's so good. Loved that. Of course, loved Colin being able to embrace his boyfriend on the pitch. That was great. The you go, I go quote was.
Oh.
Kind of heartbreak.
That was sad.
It was very heartbreaking. But it just melted your heart anyway. It was just so beautiful. Which is why we should have gotten something. But anyway.
Yep.
And then, you know, Roy becomes manager. Sam makes the Nigerian World Cup team. Roy's in therapy. And
I love that Dr. Sharon's back.
She's
back.
Before I get to that point, I just want to get to the little callbacks. So Roy scares Keely in the parking lot, like how he does in season one.
Yeah.
Sam scores the winning goal of the match.
Yes.
Like he does in the first match that they win in season one.
Yeah.
Which was such a great little, loved it. Roy mouthing the words to So Long Farewell is like him mouthing the words to Let It Go when Rebecca was singing. Keely walking into the locker room with her eyes closed.
That
like
was
this.
Cute.
Again from the pilot. Jamie letting Danny take the shot.
Yeah.
But then Danny giving. So that's like. So Jamie letting Danny take the shot, the penalty shot, was like how he let him take the shot in the goodbye episode to let Danny get out of the yips and everything at the end. He goes, footballer's life, and then he kicks the goal. It's amazing. But then Danny passes it to Isaac.
Yeah.
Which is. Coming back to the whole total football thing, because in that episode where they're discovering total football, Danny has to be Isaac and Isaac has to be Danny.
Yes.
And like, you know, and then Isaac takes it and then goes into the
that
window.
That was so funny.
It goes into the window and Higgins drops his tea all over himself. And in this one, you notice Isaac's like hesitating to take the shot and Higgins puts his arm on his wife. Like, it's so funny. It was so good. Loved that. The Ussie kid was back.
Yeah.
Can I get an Ussie? He was back. Nate jumping on Ted.
Yes.
Again was brilliant.
Yeah.
Rebecca's outfit from the pilot.
Oh.
The burnt orange top with the black skirt.
Yes.
She's wearing the same thing in the airport scene at the end. Ted is also wearing the same thing from the pilot, the pinstripe shirt with the blue sweater with the collar and the cuffs turned up. He's wearing the same thing. Ted's little army men showing up. Jamie and the money box.
Yeah. Because the first episode he puts
in the first season he puts the chewing gum in there.
Yeah, but he puts extra money this time.
He puts extra money this time. He puts his 200 pounds, but he also puts more money in there. And then I loved apart from the callbacks, loved Rebecca selling 49% of the shares to the fans.
I thought that was
great. I thought that was brilliant.
And we get like a little bit of a full circle moment with those three fans at Richmond with me.
Yes.
I thought that was
lovely. We get Baz, Paul, and
I
Jeremy
loved that.
And May getting the shares, which I thought was so beautiful.
That was
like
very
because we've seen them the most of the fans, you know.
Yeah.
And
we love them, and them getting their own little caveat ending was so brilliant.
Someone pointed out that at the end May shifts a photograph, and it's the same one that
from Cheers.
Yeah,
that Sam shifts.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because Cheers has a very big connection to Jason Sudeikis, because the actor who played Norm is his uncle.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes. He is his mother's brother.
Oh, so like, okay,
yeah,
close,
Kathy Sudeikis' brother.
okay.
Yeah. Right. So loved her selling the shares. And I loved that number 4 of Total Football is believed.
Yes.
Because they all put the
that moment.
I burst
killed
into
me.
Tears where they all
that
have pieces of the belief sign.
Me. It just killed me.
And if Sam's got it in his locker, and Jamie had it in the book that Ted had given him.
Isaac is wearing it in his captain.
Jamie had it in the book that
I
Ted
know.
Had given him that he
yeah.
rejected, but now has a
he's
worn cover
reading.
Because he's read it. And Isaac's got it in his little captain thing, and Colin had it in the shin guard. And
it was just the sweetest.
I cried in that moment.
So I didn't cry at
then,
all, except that.
And then all of them putting it together like a puzzle, and then Ted just going,
beautiful.
And there it is, number 4. And everybody's like, it's belief.
And then that someone pointed out when they put it up on the thing, it was the Katsugi.
Yeah, the gold.
I think that's the name.
Yeah,
the
I think it is. The gold, bringing it all together was brilliant. But in the little montage that we got, we saw Keely bring a joint statement to Rebecca saying AFC Richmond women's team.
Yes, women's team. Yes, yes, yes.
Could this be the future of this
Could
show?
Be.
Could
I
it be
think
the
it
spin-off?
Would be amazing. I think it would be a really interesting.
I don't know.
Spin-off?
I would love it. I think that would be great.
I think that would be amazing.
You know, them being the leads, maybe. That would be cool. Them doing
They'd obviously
together.
Have to bring a manager.
And you know what would be awesome? Who would be on the team? Shannon. The girl who's been playing the park game
yes.
with Ted every now and then.
Oh,
Shannon to be on the team.
Yes.
Because we got a very, very, very brief, like, I had to watch it again to realize, because someone told me, she is the one getting her book signed by Trent at the end.
Oh, that's
Shannon. He's like, and what's your name? And she says Shannon.
Oh my god.
It was Shannon. I was like, we haven't seen Shannon all season. And then you drop
exactly.
her at the
she's
end.
She's not been there this season. And it could be, you know, because she was in school. Maybe she's at college.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But still, I was just like, oh, Shannon.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
Shannon to be on the women's team would be amazing.
Well, we need to think of who could be manager. Maybe Jonathan Rhys-Meyers could come back as Joe.
Or I know Jason Sudeikis says it's the end of his arc, but
maybe
if Ted wants
back,
to come back and do it.
I think it would be amazing if he comes back as the women's manager. Can you imagine how much fun that would
be?
The
so
shenanigans.
The complete opposite shenanigans
It'll be,
of anything that happened before.
And the vibe will be completely
It'll be
different.
Totally different.
It'll
I
be
think
so
it would be
different.
Amazing.
And that's when it doesn't have to be called Ted Lasso.
Yeah. And they would just be like, oh, who is this? It would be the sort of the same. Like, the guys being like, oh, who is this guy? He can't coach us. And the same sort of thing. But
they know
like,
who he is now.
I mean, they know who he
it's
is, but it would
like
still
he's
be like,
unknown anymore.
Why is he coaching us? You know? Why can't we have someone else? Sort
anyway.
Of thing. He left. It'll be that thing of like, he left.
He
why
left.
Is he coming back?
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah.
You know, like, why? He left us. Mm. Why is he coming back?
That's
and then he proves his worth.
Oof.
By being
oh my gosh, we can write this. Or she, you can write this.
Bill Lawrence, call me up.
Write it. Write the pilot. Challenge accepted.
Yeah. Is there anything else that we maybe didn't love or did love?
I don't want to end with a negative note.
No, we're not
so
ending with
if
a negative.
If we didn't love something,
thing,
you know what?
I think
it
we've
is
already
what it
talked
is.
About that.
I think we've talked about pretty much
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, I think that's all in my notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to end on a positive note. It was looking it without with its faults, with its, you know, things, I still feel this show is so special. And look, if it doesn't come back, it doesn't come back. But if it does, amazing. It's a bonus. But I think just it's such a special show. Like I have not loved a show this much in a very long time.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I agree.
You know, I've not loved a show in a very long time this much. I feel like it's not just about that. It's like there's so much to learn from this show. It's such a good show. I know there's a lot of swearing and there's a lot of bad language, but honestly, I would show my kids
this show. I would still show my kids the show.
Sue because... me. Maybe I don't have kids, but if I did have kids and they were a bit older, I would be okay with them watching it because the me lessons too. That you learn in this are really, really positive because kids are watching all sorts of crap.
Yeah.
On there. Might as well watch something that actually will show you the kindness of humans.
Yes.
We watch so much stuff that focuses on so much negativity and sadness. Yeah. And this talks about all of that, but the in brightness such a and positive the kindness way.
And the honesty and holding yourself accountable to things.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, and
being a better human being.
Being a better human being. It's like... This came at a time when, yes, it was the pandemic. Yes, it was a bad time. But look at what was happening around the pandemic as well. People were being so awful to each other. Yeah. And, like, you know, the protests were happening. And, like, and Trump was still technically president at that time. And he was just saying the most horrific
and
things.
And it wasn't just him. It was people who were, like, you know... people who were against each other because they wanted to get a vaccine.
Exactly. Or, the anti-vaxxers were against the vaccinated.
And vice versa.
And vice versa. And it was just... It was just so a horrible happening. Time. And then this came along and it was just like...
A breath of fresh air.
Yes, we got onto the bandwagon a little bit late. Mm-hmm. But
for those who started watching it when it first came out.
And the thing is, we were... Again, in a lockdown, when we started watching it.
Yeah, because for those of you who are new to this, we are in Melbourne.
Yeah.
In Australia. So, in Australia, watching it.
We had our historic lockdowns. Oh, people all around the world know about this.
Long lockdown. And that's when we started watching. I think we were, like, in a third lockdown. We were, like, down in the dumps when we started watching this.
Yeah, it was a third lockdown by then. And I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
Mm.
And then we were... So, our history with this is, basically... Let's talk more generally about Ted Lasso, and then we'll finish up.
Mm.
Our Ted Lasso journey started because... Yes, because of the lockdown, but also... I had seen the promos all the way back in the day.
Yeah.
Of the character Ted Lasso. So this was all built around NBC promoting the Premier League in the US. And they wanted like a sketch to be done. And Jason Sudeikis put his hand up. And he was like, I can have this character. And it was basically Ted Lasso coming to coach Tottenham Hotspur. And just having no clue about it. And there were so many things that actually made it from that into the show.
Yeah.
Of him being like... How many countries are in this country? Like, four. Like, all these little things. And so I had seen those ages ago. And then, of course, like, nothing happened. It was just those promos. And then I believe in that time they had started developing the show. Mm-hmm. And they went to Bill Lawrence. And he was like, I love this. Let's try and shop it around and take it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it got filmed. It got made and ended up on Apple TV. The first trailer came out. And I was like... What is this crap?
It felt like a very weird show.
It still felt like those promos. Yeah. I was like, I don't know how this is going
to
be. Because
he's getting hit in the face by the ball,
and he's doing all this weird stuff with his hair.
I even said to you, like, I was gesturing. Like, let's give it a chance. Let's watch this. And you were like, it looks really dumb.
It still looks like the skits. The skits were funny, but this just doesn't look like something that is going to be going on.
And we're like
for
massive fans of Ted Lasso.
And we love
Jason Sudeikis.
I was like, nah. Then the second trailer came out, and I was still like, nah.
Mm.
And then it was about, season two was about, like, I think 4 or 5 episodes in when we started watching it. And someone said to me, they're like, but you love Jason Sudeikis. Mm. Why aren't you watching it? I was like, I don't know. It kind of feels like it's, like, his skits. It's not going to be. And he was like, no, it's in the second season now.
I thought it would be, like, an SNL sort of show, you know?
And I was like, oh, okay. So it's good. He's like, yeah, it's really good. It's really good. Mm. You'd love it. I was like, all right, I guess. And then we were, again, down in the dumps because of the lockdown. And we were just like, you know what? Let's just do it.
My work people made me watch it. Because they were like, we were talking, because we were in lockdown. So we were working from home and we always used to have like little chats and stuff. And so someone was like, oh, I'm watching Ted Lasso. You guys should watch it. And that's how I was like, I think it's time now. We should watch it. And we kind of finally ran out of stuff.
We literally
to watch.
Like binged it in that day because those was when it was still the half hour episodes.
Yeah, they were like really short.
It was just like, we were just like, and my, it was the three of us. It was you, me, and mom watching it.
Mm.
And I think it was a day that she wasn't doing work from home. She had a day off. And we were just like, oh, let's watch it. And then we watched it and we're like, this is incredible. It's I love this. And we've been in love with it ever since. And it's just, it's so brilliantly written. It's brilliantly acted by everybody. Mm. It's deserved every award it's gotten so far. And yeah, it's just amazing.
It is. It is one of the best shows. It is, I think, one of the best things that Jason Sudeikis has ever done.
Yeah.
And I have hope for, you know, future projects that he's going to be in. Okay, we're going to end with two favorite moments.
From the whole show?
Whatever.
Yeah, okay. The dart scene?
Yes. That was season one?
Season one.
Yeah.
Diamond Dogs. Mm. So good. The dart scene and, I think Jamie and Roy in Amsterdam riding the bikes.
I agree.
Loved that.
I agree. I can't pick.
Oh my God.
I honestly can't pick favorite moments. I think one of my standout moments, I would say, would be, actually, I do have a favorite moment. Christmas at Higgins.
Yes, them all around the table.
I love that.
Love it.
Absolutely love
it. Fun fact, you know, he's like, oh, and so-and-so from blah, 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 and he keeps saying whether the places that he reads out are actually where all of those actors are from.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, that's a little
nice touch. That, and then the moment at Sam's restaurant when they're all fixing everything.
Yeah.
Those two moments. And the reason why I love those two moments is because it's about the team.
Yeah, the team.
And it's, you know, I don't know, it's just something special about them.
Yeah. Oh, and Pillow Fight also gets a mention. That whole bit. Oh, Pillow Fight.
Actually, I have another favorite moment, which I think has become like a favorite moment. And I don't know if it's a favorite moment, but it's probably one of the standout moments is at the end when Beard finally tells us his story.
Yes.
And he's telling it to Nate.
Yeah.
And I think that moment...
That says everything about Ted Lasso.
It gives us a really big insight into Ted Lasso, and it gives us an insight into Beard and their relationship.
Willis Beard.
Yes, Willis Beard. Into their relationship. And I just think, brilliant.
Mm.
Very, very nice.
What does he say? And Nate's like, oh, like Les Mis. And he's like, yes, our story does resemble Les Mis. I was like, oh my God. There were so many references to Les Mis this season. Oh my God. I was just like, okay.
So anyway, I think, I really, really hope, that they're coming back.
I know.
But I will be okay if they do not.
I'll be okay in a while. If after this whole writer's strike and everything happens and we come back and everything and they say for good that it's done, I'll be like, okay.
Bye-bye.
But if they keep saying it's ambiguous and we might come back and we might decompress, I'm like...
I feel like they themselves don't know.
I'm never gonna... Yeah. Until they say I'm never gonna be able to, like, accept this for a while. So, anyway.
Anyway, so... Thank you for listening. And for those of you, if this is your first time hearing us on YouTube, as someone I know says, on the YouTube.
On the YouTubes.
if this is the first time you've heard of us, please go ahead and check out the rest of our episodes. Yeah. We will slowly put our old episodes up on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
So this is our first YouTube episode, but it is our 83rd episode in total. So we do have quite a few for you to listen.
Yeah.
And if you want to hear a particularly good one, if I want to plug one of ours, is I think episode 30. It's on The Mummy.
Yes, The Mummy.
It's our favorite film and it is our favorite episode that we have done so far.
Well, I like a few of our other episodes too.
True, I like the Jane Austen one as well.
The Jane Austen one's good too.
But we've done some really good ones, so please check them out. And like, subscribe, and hit the bell icon.
I can't believe it.
Oh my God, I've always wanted to say that.
Yes, thank you for everybody who's been listening. I just want to say quickly, thank you to everyone who's been on this Ted Lasso journey.
Yes.
I have like talked to so many great people on Twitter. Thank you to all the podcasts that were born because of the show.
Yes.
I'm going to tag you all. I've been listening to you. I'm going to tag you all when I put this on our Twitter thing. Mm. Because you have taken us through this journey and we have decompressed and discussed everything together.
Yes.
So thank you so much for being on this Ted Lasso journey with us. And hopefully it is not the end, but if it is, thank you.
Thank you. So please follow us on our socials, which will be listed down below. Go listen to us, to our other episodes, and follow us, subscribe, like, and we shall talk to you next time.
Bye. Bye.